Okay, here we go. And true to my rough cut, it starts in the middle of the page where it says 27?
Yes.
Okay. Lord bless this time and minister. And one thing I do, I interlace my writing with scripture. So if nothing else, we can be blessed by the scripture. Okay, in loving patience, the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, clearly shows me my sin, knowing full well I will repeat it again. Mm. So maybe you guys can relate to this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A cleansing process could have many steps, like several washings and scrubbings, to get out and remove a particular stubborn stain. So if you're confessing the same sins for a long time, maybe you're getting that scrubbing and that cleansing that God, it don't happen immediately, but even it could take time. As portrayed in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they can be as wool. And I commented, so dirty black sin can be exchanged for woolly, white, pure and bright, shining forth, yes, a brilliant light. Attractive to others, inclined to draw near, granted hearts to understand and ears to hear. Notice granted, that's a gift. God gives us that heart to hear and understand. And our loving, gracious, patient, kind Savior, prophet, priest, and king, will stamp it accepted with his signet ring. Amen and amen, so let it be. Okay, now to the top of the page. There are times I scribble furiously, so angry at rebellious sin. The ink cries out loving invitation, oh sinner, repent, repent. We're doing a sidetrack here. Okay, again. The ink cries out loving invitation, oh sinner, repent, repent. For we know that the law is spiritual, ... The prophet's quill was set on fire, it should be, writing words of flame burning into souls, hot and searing pain. So, what does that mean to you, Walker? Instead of me defining it, I'd like to get your impression.
About the prophet's quill? Are you talking about
that? Yeah, and burning into souls a hot and searing pain.
I think Joel made a really interesting comment in the sermon today that I had never thought about, that the prophets were more, the writings were more not foretelling the future, that was more condemning what was going on in Israel and in Judah for their falling away. And you know, the Baal worship, and you know, but that's what, you know, for the falling away to the pagans and intermarrying with pagans and stuff. It never dawned on me on that, you know, that the majority of that. So perhaps here, Patrick, that this you know, maybe that's the prophet's quill that he mentioned today. You know, it was this, the prophet is telling us about where we have fallen short.
Right. And repentance, which is kind of the recurring theme in this paper.
And I've been reading a thing about, you know, the offices that the role of Jesus, a thing about Jesus. And one of his offices was that of prophet. And you think about him, and you look at back of all the lessons, you know, he is the prophet. It wasn't always foretelling the future. It was kind of condemning everything that was going on.
A lot of that. And the word says that his word was a bright, or let's say, and burning.
Yeah.
Hence the burning of my sin inside of me. I'm just like, you know, it's a searing pain. Lord, I keep repeating the sin over and over and over again. When will you deliver me? But, and like the prophet said, where else can I go?
It's the best place to go. It's the only place to go.
It's the only place.
So like the woman at the well, you know, he knew, he's the prophet, you know, but what she had done, and then after meeting the Lord, go and sin no more. But she, he, that was that prophetic gift that the Lord had.
Amen. So again, the prophet's quill was set on fire, writing words of flame burning into souls. And sometimes the word burns into my soul, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing, and I have to discipline myself. Repent, turn away, and quit, and stop, cease, and desist. And we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, well, just stop it. Therein lies the problem. I can't, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit power fully to resist. But I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. And I'm in a Romans 7. Hello, how you doing?
Hello.
Welcome. We're taking a little sidetrack here.
Okay.
We're about in the middle of the top of the page there.
Okay.
But I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that is what I do. And again, I'm in a Romans 7 part of my life right now. And God's dealing with me. He's bringing all that stuff to the surface. And I'm overwhelmed. Like the prophet Jeremiah said, I'm undone. I'm unraveled. And I just have to fall on my face and, Lord, help me. I can't not do this. Who was the prophet that spread out the thing before the Lord and said, here it is, Lord. I can't handle this. And he committed, commit your ways unto the Lord and they shall be established. But that I hate, what I hate, that's what I do. Romans 8, 14 to 15. And I commented, oh, such a divine dilemma, a contradictory conundrum, if you will. I looked up that word conundrum. And what does that mean? Anybody know that definition? Come on, somebody. A conundrum, what does that mean?
Like an unexplainable situation, is it?
That's close. We got to go there real quick.
Confusion or something like that?
Conundrum. You hit it. A confusing and difficult problem or question. Okay, so if you will, we have a contradictory conundrum. Mm. So even in the confusion, there's contradictions. That somehow makes sense to me. Does that resonate with you guys at all? Okay, but, and I'm big on the word but, right in the middle of all this trouble and heartache and pain and, but, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Philippians 1:6. I can be confident of this one thing. This one thing that emphatically answers all the questions throughout all the ages. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, I present my writing to you all. So, hang on to that. And if you're interested in more of this stuff, I can give you my info for my, I'm trying to crank up my blog. I've been writing I've been clean and sober for 30 years. I think you guys know my story. I was living on the street, strung out on heroin 30 years ago. So God can do a work, and He can make a difference in your life.
Amen.
Okay, now we got another detour before we get to the main agenda here. Perhaps you have these. What's your name, sir?
Paul.
Okay, yeah, I don't have enough of these to go around, but this is from a book called The Cure for Unjust Anger. And it was written by John Delmami, who lived from 1571 to 1652. So it's been a minute since this guy was around. But this is a Puritan, and I'm big on the Puritans. They had lots and lots of good stuff, so if you want to go into that. And let's start the middle of the second page, chapter 1, The Nature of Anger. We'll jump in there. Okay. Trudy, where's Trudy? She's my main.
She must be sick. She doesn't.
She didn't come
anything.
In. Yeah. She's my main. my main girl in this class. Okay, and this is her kind of her scripture. Be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians 4:26. That's a pretty famous scripture for anger management, or good and angry, or righteous anger, I like to call it. So in a word, could somebody translate what that means?
You want to take a picture of the first two pages? That way.
You want to?
No.
Okay, you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Be angry and sin not. So what's the essence of what that's saying there?
That there's a way to be angry and sin and a way to be angry and not sin.
Okay, hence righteous anger, or good and angry. Okay, very good. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. What does that what does that imply? Or upon your wrath. This is the classroom, by the way. I'm expecting you guys to come.
Resolve your issues before you go to sleep.
Bingo.
Yeah,
that's it.
Sometimes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, it's easy to say that, but it's difficult.
Hello, yeah.
It's really difficult because we in our fallen flesh, you know, we hang on to stuff, Patrick. And sometimes it takes a long time to work that out. And sometimes it takes sometimes days, sometimes a lot longer than that.
Weeks.
Some years, perhaps. Years. it's just something I think that the Holy Spirit has to deal with our hearts on, and because we can't do it ourselves, we have to, trust in the Lord. But not get down on ourselves. I think when if it continues to go on, but I think if the Holy Spirit has convicted us, you need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. And hopefully, as time moves along, as we get closer, you know, that sanctification process happens, that the Lord will have victory over that.
Amen. And those stubborn sins just kind of fall away. They just magically disappear. Yeah. That's how it was with my drug and alcohol addiction. It was just, the desire to use was just gone. And I thank God for that. Okay, good. So the miserable ruins of our excellent state at creation, you know, we were created sinless, and the foul spots of original corruption appear nowhere in the body or soul as clearly as in the affections. Now, when you think of affections, what do you think of usually?
Usually positive affections.
Affectionate, usually
they're positive, I would think, most times.
But it can be totally different. These ruins are the lamentable effects following our first parent's sin, and these spots are like a contagious leprosy that has spread from them to infect all their descendants. So it all started with Adam and Eve. Chapter 3 in Genesis, you can read all about it. That's where it happened. Resulting in affections, okay, so corrupted and disordered that only the smallest relics of humanity created purely remain. So they've been corrupted so much over the years and over the centuries. And you look at the whole woke thing going on right now. You look at the in the media and just how corrupt and foul and ungodly it is. It says in Isaiah, they're going to call good evil and evil good. They're going to put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And we're certainly seeing that unfold for us now. We should earnestly labor to reform all our affections, but especially anger, which is the most turbulent and violent affection, if not bridled and restrained. So what does the Bible says? Be not like the mule that has to have the bit and the bridle, but the glance, it talks about the glance of the eye. I know when I was growing up, my parents were pretty strict disciplinaries, and my father could just go, and it spoke very loudly.
Yeah.
It spoke very loudly to me. So a turbulent and violent affection, if not, so the bridled and restrained. And we have to pray for the will to want to be bridled and restrained. Because I'm pretty wanton in some of my sins and some of my, that I love and cherish. I have chosen this text to help us in this good endeavor in order to show the ways in which anger is to be approved and embraced, and the respects in which it should be avoided and shunned. And Katie kind of alluded to that. Some it should be approved and embraced, righteous anger, and it should be avoided and shunned. So here, let's look at the definition of anger. Is an affection in which someone is moved to retaliation in response to injury or injustice. Oh, wait, perceived. That's huge. I'm big on perception. I think most of you guys know my wife and I have a secular anger management business, and we've been teaching it for years. But we try to inject our faith into it as much as we can, and God has blessed that. So that perception, I can see something, like we're out in public, and I said, "Man, that's outrageous! I can't believe they're doing that." And my wife will go, "I don't see nothing wrong with it." And instead of, so should I try to convince her to see it my way? No. Do I? Sometimes, yes. So a person's perception is their reality, and me just saying, "Oh, that's wrong. You need to change that." They can't. They can't. Unless what? What's the only way they can change it?
Holy Spirit changes.
Holy Spirit conviction. Yeah, bingo. Okay. The injury in question may be either a true injustice or only an injury in one's perception. And it may be an injury against one's self or one's friends, relatives, or some other group. Because anger is often expressed and quickly discerned through vehement facial expressions, our English word anger is derived from the Latin word angor, which signifies strangulation or choking, as well as mental distress, grief, and anguish. That's pretty strong stuff. And you can usually look at somebody and go, "You're getting angry. I can see you're getting angry."
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Oh, yes, you are. So, you know what? Yes, I am getting angry. Well, and this can work in relationships, husbands and wives, by the way. So why are you getting angry? Because you said this or that, and in my perception, I felt it was an insult, or I felt you're disrespecting me. I felt you're being disrespectful to my feelings. And just put it out there. And a lot of times, they might say something like, "If I offended you, I'm sorry." What's wrong with that?
Puts the onus on the other person.
If.
Yeah.
That's a big word, if. Well, obviously this person is offended, whether you think they should be or not. That's huge for me. So, and I'm learning more and more. Believe me, I'm still wrestling with a lot of anger issues after teaching this stuff for almost 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm learning. But God is patient. And he'll walk us through it. He'll teach us. We'll grow. We'll learn, especially if we study the Word on a daily basis. That's the secret of my modest success. Okay, anger, which signifies strangulation, choking, distress, grief, anguish. This is because a moderate anger often produces both of these effects, tormenting both the mind and the body. So, and we talked about too that anger is a whole body experience.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's one of the few emotions or attitudes that are full body.
Yeah.
If you hold on to it.
Yes.
If you hold on, and I like being angry. So I'm going to be angry at you for the rest of the day. Just get used to it. That's so wrong.
I always think of that country and western song, "You can feel bad if it makes you feel better."
Oh dear.
there's some truth to that.
But that's so harmful to yourself.
Yeah. No, it's hurting you more than it's hurting anybody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. We also talk in our other class about letting people occupy space in your head for free. Mm-hmm. I like to say, figure out a way to charge them rent.
Yeah.
If they're in my head bugging me all the time, you know. So learning to just forgive and forget. Do you ever forget?
No.
But you know what? You can. I'm teaching my other class now. But you can forgive, and what it does, it takes the pain out of the memory. You know, I'll think of something that happened 15 years ago, and it's, "Oh man, I can't believe it!" And it just spins me out really bad. 15 years ago, we don't have to do that. God, especially through the Holy Spirit, can give us the strength to let go of that.
And I think I've mentioned it before, you know, in the class about this relative of mine. You know, I thought did some horrible things, mostly to my parents. And, you know, I had to forgive him. And because if I didn't, Satan would win. And you were talking about that space. Well, the space in this case is my heart.
That's a good way to boil it down. Satan wins.
You know, and if I continue with this, if I didn't continue this forgiving of him, that Satan was going to get a foothold in there. And then he was really going to do a number. And that's why I had to just go to the Lord. I said, I need to forgive him. I've never forgotten what he's done. I have some of this stuff, I'm sure, over time. But I said, I need to take the high road. And I need to take the high road, mm-hmm. and I need to take the what would the Lord have done kind of road, even though in my humanness it wasn't always happening. But I could not let Satan get a foothold in my heart.
That's a really good
point. Because then it's not my relative who wins, it's Satan who wins. And that was like a 15-year battle. But I said, it'll just destroy me if I just continue down this, if I let Satan get a foothold in my heart.
So you have to give it to the Lord.
You have to give it to the Lord.
But you can't take it back.
And kind of hard to do in the midst of the turmoil sometimes. My wife and I can kind of get into a negative slant, and it just keeps spiraling and getting worse and worse and worse. Stop. But let's pray.
Yeah, but it has to be purposeful. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what you have to do. You have to just say to yourself, I'll only talk about myself.
Okay.
I had to be purposeful about this with this anger towards this relative. I just said, no.
Okay.
No, I've got to give, I'm not going to let this get in there. I'm not going to let this destroy me.
Yeah.
And you know, we got, and the Lord had victory, you know, and I was always praying for victory over this. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, by his good grace and his mercy, you know, there was victory. In the long end, there was victory.
But you got to look at the big picture, too, in the long run. Because a lot of times in the midst of the turmoil, okay, stop, let's pray. I don't want to pray right now. Excuse me? You don't want to pray. You know, you can use that as an ammunition. I know this guy, I drive a bus for a mental health institution, and this guy is a Christian. But he's not really, you know, and he constantly quotes scriptures to the point of, excuse me, sir, would you quit quoting scriptures? You know, and that can be the right thing to say. The devil can quote scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But he just keeps going on and on and on and on with all these scriptures. I'm going, that's not edifying. That's not helping the situation, you know. So, any thoughts on that?
I want to piggyback on what she said. How can we sit in that? Because I was there sitting in reciting my anger, and I knew that I had to forgive, but I didn't want to. I wanted to keep remembering. Mm-hmm. And as I remember like God telling me that's not good for you. But I'm like, but I don't want to forgive. And so it is going through those moments where you hear God's voice, but then you shut them out. And you want to be stubborn and continue until I finally realized that God was like, if you continue this route, you're going to harm yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, not harm myself, but just, you know, emotionally and spiritually. And so, but I sat there for months. Mm-hmm. I felt God telling me, like, this is not good for you. And I kept going to that place. I kept going to, but I want to be angry. Mm-hmm. I want to justify my anger. I want to be here. And I kept remembering things that, you know, and I know that I shouldn't, but I wanted to be there. But slowly being in the Word of God, and I had to be careful and purposeful in making sure that I drowned the world out. And I put God focused, because it was in my intimate moments with God, even in the shower, that sometimes just even music, I had to be careful, because then it would take me to a place that I didn't want to. But you have
you
to
mean
be
listening
purposeful.
To certain
yes.
music?
And listening to certain to things, yeah. yes. And so I had to be purposeful, and I had to ask God for help, because I didn't want to be in that place of anger. And but it is very, you have to be intentional with God as well, because mm-hmm. you can sit in that anger and you, even though you don't want to be in it, you want to be stubborn and you're like, no, but I don't want to forgive.
Well, see, that goes back to that Romans 7. I don't understand my own actions. Yeah. The things I, And I just thought about how I started this out. In loving patience, the Lord through the Holy Spirit clearly shows me my sin, knowing full well I will repeat it again. So, but he works with us in that stage, even though it might take years before God finally takes that away from you. He who started the good work will be faithful to complete it. So it always goes back to Scripture too.
It does, and we have to realize we're in spiritual warfare. You know, that's the that's ultimately where we are. We're battling those principalities that, you know, and powers and stuff. It's just you know, that's where this all stems from. At least what I believe, and it's just like, you know, this is where, like you were saying, it is just this purposeful thing. But you need, I've just really in the last 10 years it's come to me, pray for victory. Pray for victory over things, because God can give us victory. And I love that word, victory. It's winning. It's the ultimate win. And the Lord can provide that for us. Not by our own strength. Yeah.
Okay. Anger is the affection that participates in the body and soul as well. It is not a property of the soul only, for the emotion itself arises and is felt in the body. But it is not a property of the body alone. The affection is provoked by a perceived injury, and this more properly belongs to the soul. I therefore call anger a mixed affection proceeding from both body and soul. Three different kinds of anger. First, this affection is created by God and was part of the human nature prior to the fall. Before evil entered into the world, uncorrupted human nature, being the Lord's own workmanship, was approved by God as what? Very good. Hello, welcome.
Greetings.
Have you got another one of these? Here, pass that over to
you. Yeah,
this one. To Vince.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, we're not doing that right now, but hang on to that. You can read over it later, please, and I'd like your comments on it.
I can read it?
He called it his chicken
switch. Let me know. I'll get a better copy for you if you want.
That's fine.
Okay. Have you got one of these? It was a handout last week.
No, I left mine at home.
I have it in the car.
I have one. Because I wrote some notes.
I have it in the car. Yeah.
Here you go. Pass it.
Okay. Thank you.
We're on page 3. Okay, three different kinds of anger toward the bottom of the page 3. You see it? It's actually in bold. Three different kinds of anger toward the bottom of the page.
Yes.
Okay. First, this affection, and we're talking about how anger is an affection. All affection is not sweet and nice and, you know, oh, I'm very affectionate toward that person.
Right.
But affection is what? How it affects you. Now, as far as affect and effect, I'm not schooled enough to get into all that. Okay, first, this affection is created by God and was part of human nature prior to the fall, before evil entered into the world. And again, that's Genesis chapter 3. Uncorrupted human nature, being the Lord's own workmanship, was approved by God as very good. Genesis 1:31. It therefore follows that this affection in its own nature should be esteemed as good and lawful. Nevertheless, since nothing is attributed or ascribed to God that is not good and just, so far as it is ascribed, it is evident that anger in its own nature is not evil. That's important. Anger in its own nature is not evil. So that's kind of interesting. Anger has its own true nature that God created in the beginning.
So that nature is part of us, this anger.
Correct, yeah, it was created in us. Okay, top of the last page. Finally, always love when the pastor says, and finally, wrapping up, they can still go on for another half hour, so anyway. It is clear that this natural affection is in itself lawful because we see it truly and naturally expressed in our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Christ himself in his human nature. So he was what? Fully human and fully God.
Son of man.
Anybody got that one totally figured out?
No.
Okay. This is evident in Mark 3:5, where Jesus looked with anger on the scribes and Pharisees because of their hardness of heart. And I just imagine Jesus looking with anger. And I know he's probably looked at me a few times like that. Yeah, and that just those burning, innocent, pure eyes, you know, just like, wow. It would almost slay me, you know. And again, back to Jeremiah, I'm undone, I'm unraveled.
But interesting, there he was looking at the hearts of these men.
Yeah.
You know,
the hardness of their heart.
Their hearts, where they really are. It wasn't their outward mannerisms, it was their heart.
We also see this when he was provoked with righteous indignation. Now, I get provoked a lot, but it's not always with righteous indignation. It's because I've been offended. You said something against me. You belittled me. You made me feel uncomfortable. But they don't do that. You give them the freedom to do that. You allow them to do that. And I like what you said about you're giving the devil opportunity. He mm-hmm. wins.
He wins. He does.
Okay. We also see that when he was provoked with righteous indignation and seeing his father's house turned into a marketplace, which led him to drive the buyers and the sellers from the temple. That's in John 2:13. Mm-hmm. Seeing, and that's interesting. There's kind of some side stories about the whip that he used. Any of you guys watch The Chosen? I think in The Chosen, he like prepared that whip the night before. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it's kind of an interesting concept. Because did he know what was going to happen the next day?
Of course
he did. So, yeah, I got the whip, I'm ready. Which led him to drive the buyers and the sellers from the temple. And I submit that in our churches today, we definitely have the buyers and the sellers in the temple. Seeing then that Christ was angry and yet free from all sin. 1 Peter 2:22, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. It follows that anger in its own nature is just and holy. And again, I would love to teach through this book. This is from that John Downey book. What was the name of that? And well, you know, you guys expressed some interest in that. So we still go until February with this particular class. So we'll take another look at that toward the end of the class if you guys want to extend, or maybe even Michelle was talking about a Zoom class, which I had mentioned earlier, and she has a friend. Or something that would be interested in that class. So this would be a great class for some unschooled Christians because it's non-threatening and they can participate when or how they will. So you got to keep that in mind and be praying about it, and I might just want to kick that in. I know any of you guys would be interested in attending. We're talking like Monday night at 6:30. I know a lot of you got really busy schedules.
Yeah.
So we'll let it ride for right now, but we're due to continue this class till like the middle of February. So we got plenty of time to
keep it going. Just keep it going, because I cannot imagine we're
going to
go through this whole thing.
No, we will not.
Okay,
yeah. I'm gonna, and I pray you guys don't lose your enthusiasm.
No, and you know, Patrick, this is just kind of like a mini lift group. There aren't many of us, and I think as we stay together longer, you know, and this is a great topic of sharing.
And kind of
opening up, you know, and sharing it with each other.
That's great.
You know, because it's good to hear what other people say, and especially because we're all dealing with this, and it's just sometimes.
Now, you guys all bring something really good to the table, and I think it's a good whole learning experience. body, soul, and spirit, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay, pray us out, buddy.
Lord is, Pastor said, Lord, it is so good to be together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, you bless us in so many ways. Even though we're all fallen sinners, but we are here together. We are here together because we have a common Savior who covered us with his blood.
Yes,
Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for Patrick and his leadership. We thank you that we can talk about a subject that's, it can be very, very difficult to talk about, that we all deal with in different ways. That this is something that's a tool of Satan to destroy, but Lord, we can have victory over it by your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for, again, this time to be together. And we just pray that if it's your will, that we would continue this class, Lord, and we continue to share it together. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, good stuff, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
It is a great class.